This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mike Milbury coming up on this show Thursday, Bruins Thursday at 9. And then on Friday, we are on the road in advance of Veterans Day, which is Monday. And we are at the American Heritage Museum in Hudson and partly in Stowe, my original home continent. And we will be celebrating those who have served this country, not only during the show Friday, but afterwards at Lunch with a Hero at the 110 Grill. I think this is our third annual Lunch with a Hero, so cannot wait. And I hope Joe Landry, who just celebrated his 100th birthday, will be there. I was just talking to Jim, who's bringing Joe. He will be there around 7:30 on Friday, and I'm hoping that a bunch of you will be able to make your way out on Friday morning and be there with us all morning and say happy 100th to Joe Landry and shake his hand and thank him for his service to this country in World War II. So,
I feel like that'll be emotional.
I think so. It's awesome. You know, we had a long, ongoing, amazing relationship with a World War II veteran named Larry on the old show, Larry Steinfeld. And it was so great to hear the stories and be able to talk about a time gone by. And so cannot wait for Friday, and I hope that you will all come out and join us on Friday. Ooh, look at Ty Law in the building early. All right, we'll get to Ty at 8:20, not 9 this morning, but Ty will probably stick around. In the meantime, rest of the news.
And we have a new inductee into the Pervert Teachers Association.
Jesus, haven't they taught you these things in school?
What things?
The Greg Hill Morning Show presents...
We were meant to be, I know it. How else could sex be that incredible?
Pervert Teachers Association.
That is appalling. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
Police in Texas made the announcement yesterday that 54-year-old Sergio Gonzalez, a teacher and coach at AC New Middle School in Balk Springs, was arrested for child grooming, a third-degree felony, after officials found surveillance video that showed him spending the night inside a school with a 14-year-old student over the summer.
Wait a second. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, it's a guy for once.
Right.
Lately, it's mostly been women.
Right. Yep.
But they spent the night together at the school?
Correct. Pillows and all.
Was school going on?
It was during the summer.
Oh, it was during the summer.
During the summer.
Okay, all
he
right.
He was placed on administrative leave on August 20th.
What is going on with these people?
And it was just them two?
Yes.
Like a summer group thing?
Nope. Just them two. Also, where does this 14-year-old's parents think that they are? But other teachers tipped off the police to start investigating this after they've felt like the relationship between the 14-year-old and Mr. Gonzalez was inappropriate.
Yeah, and it was on the security footage.
Correct.
Oh, God.
disgusting.
Does he not know that there's a million cameras at the school?
Doesn't seem like he cares.
It's like dumbest criminals ever.
And the saddest part is the police say when they interviewed the 14-year-old that she was downplaying the relationship but was very concerned about Mr. Gonzalez and what was going to happen to him.
Mm. Yeah, well, so, he should be locked up forever.
Right. And a new study says that Americans are having a hard time post-pandemic making new friends. The survey was done by Talker Research. They found that 39% of people haven't made a new friend in over a year, and they're also feeling like their social life is stuck in a rut. This is because people do not know how to interact with each other anymore. They're saying that because people are spending so much time behind a screen and not getting out there. I'm sure I know where Greg could go with this, whereas nobody's in the office anymore to make new friends. But this isn't surprising to me. I mean, I've made a new friend or two over the last year, so I feel like my social life is going strong. But you got to get out there. You can't just text people. You got to pick up the phone, call them. You need to go have lunch with people face to face. You know,
I made a friend today at Starbucks. The barista and I were chatting. It was a great day. She asked if I live around there. I said, "Yeah, I actually do. I
go to." She hitting on you?
No, friend.
Jeez.
No, we were very. I mean, I was hoping for a free one, but I actually went, and there was a guy that I thought listened to the show who overheard me, and he gave me this look like you're trying way too hard to do the small talk for Greg right now. But it was very lovely.
You were all over me about small talking people.
Well, the mobile orders were down, so I was just stuck. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to wait for it actually to be made when you were there. We have no patience, and I'm at the top of the list. Well, now that you can order in advance, like it used to be, you went somewhere, ordered, and then 15 minutes later you left with your food. Now, if you get there when you order before and it's not ready in a minute, you're throwing things.
But small talk's a little bit easier when she's a smoke show. Handing out coffees.
I don't ever want to say this person was supposed to. Not that, but very nice.
Did your coffee cup come with digits on it?
It did. It said, go F yourself, Kurt.
Come with an XOXOXO smiley face.
Had a heart as an eye.
It did.
Okay. There is a hot new baby trend out there when it comes to naming your child. Baby consultants are saying that naming girls historically boy names are more and more popular, with 2025 being the year where girls will be named boy names.
Okay.
And even more so, the hottest trend in 2025 is people naming their child after their best friend's dad.
What?
All right.
That's what the trend is called?
That is what the trend
name
is called.
Child.
Like officially called best friend's dad.
No offense, but I would not want to name my kid Sean.
I love my best friend's dads.
All right.
But, you know, it's, I think that that is.
So who's your best friend?
Well, I have a few.
No,
you got to pick one.
I'm telling you.
Don't go empath on this.
No, who's your best? I have a group. We've been together since kindergarten.
Okay.
Who's the first person
to name my child Tim. Tim Hooley's a great man, and
Would you name your daughter Tim? I mean, that's the trend.
Yeah, no, Timmy for a girl, maybe.
Maybe.
Courtney got a lot of best friends.
No, it's not that. It's just I have a group that has been together for a very long time. But yeah, no, I mean, I hope that my child is half the man that Tim Hooley is. But I don't know if I would necessarily name, you know,
Tim.
I would name the baby after my dad before naming him or her after my best friend.
You would name your daughter John.
Yeah,
nice to see John and your mom at the basic brunch on Sunday.
Yep. Yep,
which was excellent, by the way. Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about it enough yesterday, but Strega in the North End, they do so much for the foundation. I want to thank Nick Verano and Nico and Dave and everybody over there who just outdid themselves. There were like 15 entrees available for everybody.
Yeah.
The stuffed French toast was delicious. Did you try any, Wiggy? I think you tried everything at the table, as did I.
Uh-huh.
Did you try any of the honey ricotta?
Yep.
Like the whipped honey ricotta.
Oh, yeah.
So good. And it had like pistachios on top or something.
Nice piece of bread.
But you brought up the stuffed French toast. The French toast bites.
I didn't try any of those, but they look really good.
My God. It was It was like little fried dough almost. It was so good. And
Sean, why didn't you pull up then, man?
I was here hosting Football Sunday alongside Megan Ottolini.
Stress bragging.
I would say Sean actually had strep 15 years ago, so he couldn't make it.
No, it was a good time. It was a movie out there. It was
I just finished my antibiotics. Thank you.
Greg, just on the baby naming thing, if we could go back for a quick second. you in your life, if you have three kids, will have three decisions that are not as consequential like in any other walk. Like, you know, for 9 months, you're having a baby. Mm-hmm. You have to think of a name and then you name it. We are outsourcing it. Like, how pathetic is that?
Well, remember we talked about, we may have even had her on.
Uh-huh. We tried, baby namer.
The baby consultant who charges you, I think it was $500.
Yeah.
Oof. To pick what she says is the right name for your child.
Right.
So like, Junior develops in the right way because of their name.
Well, I've also seen a lot of people, this is actually a very smart, like little niche career, if you would. It's people, so if you wanted to name your daughter Charlotte, say.
Okay.
And your best friend ends up getting pregnant before you and naming their daughter Charlotte.
Oh,
well, Charlotte's off the table now. Mm. So they use this baby naming consultant to say, this is why I liked Charlotte. Ooh. And then they give you other names that give the same Charlotte effect, but are not Charlotte.
That's the world of baby naming, we typically find that names become popular again after about 100 years. The names that I've suggested here, I'm kind of trying to evoke a ritzy Art Deco 1920s revival.
Yes, and that will be $1,000.
$150,000.
If you want Art Deco, it's an additional $500. Just Venmo me.
But Wiggy's so right about needing a license to have kids. Like, if you can't even name the kid on your own, how the hell are you going to raise it?
You never be stealing names. That's a whole Seinfeld episode with George Costanza and his wanting to name the baby Seven after Mickey Mantle. And then the other lady took it. You should already know. And, like, we knew with our kids, we had names, kind of ideas that we wanted before we even had kids. It's really not that difficult.
No, Santo and I have a list.
And my firstborn, I was like, yo, I'm going to name him after me. Firstborn male.
That's a tad bit arrogant.
Well, no, but that's
what we'll be doing if we have a son.
That's what I always wanted.
If I have a daughter, I'm naming it after me.
My daughter, we named her. We named our.
Oh, you have to go with best friend's father, Curtis.
Right, Peter. That'll be it.
Peter. No,
this is my sweetheart, Peter.
My daughter, we went with her, my wife's sister, who passed away when they were younger, and then her mother's middle name.
So you guys are really into family names.
And then you kind of, add them up. And we wanted our two boys, I think, to start with both J. So.
But, like, we had a name on our girl list, and two of our friends are pregnant right now, and they just told us what they're naming their daughter, and it's the same name, but we've never talked about it, so that name's off our list now.
Why do you do that?
Well, because we're not going to have two of the same.
So what? If you like the name.
Right. Yeah.
Because he's floating around here, is Ty short for something? Or
I would imagine it is. I don't even know.
We'll have to ask him about that.
I would imagine it's short for Tyshawn.
Yeah. All right.
I have it right here. Tawan. T-A-J-U-A-N. Edward Law.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Oh, we have the same middle name. Me and Ty Law. And the same hands. All right. We are going to get to Ty Law coming up on a Ty Tuesday. Courtney, that's it on the news?
That's it for the news.
All right, thank you. Here is Courtney with what is trending this hour.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Celtics take down the Hawks 123-93. Jason Tatum led the way with 28 points, and it was Nemias Keita's first game in the starting lineup. He had 10 points and 7 rebounds. Joe Mazzulla, very impressed with what he saw out of him.
He's just grown a lot as a player, and quite honestly, he doesn't know how good he can be. He's got a great ceiling, and so the standard's very high. And I thought he did some great things for us tonight. But when you're as good as he could be, we all got to hold him to that standard every single night. And so it's a credit to him for just allowing us to coach him. It's a credit to the guys for supporting him. But you see what he's capable of when he's at his best. And he could be a real asset for us towards the season. So he worked really hard. He cares. He wants to be coached. And it was a tremendous, I'm grateful he allows me to coach him. But he's starting to realize how good he really can be. And he's working at it.
There you go, Nemias Cox for your firstborn.
That would be good. Well, it would be DeTore.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Jaylen Brown was out of this game with a left hip strain, but was putting up shots on the court before game time. The Chiefs beat the Bucks in overtime.
I'm shocked Santo got that.
In Monday Night Football, 30-24, Patrick Mahomes completed 34 of 44 passes for 291 yards and 3 touchdowns in the win. The NFL trade deadline is today at 4 p.m. We'll have Ty Law coming up to talk all things Pats and the NFL next. The Bruins are in action tonight, taking on the Maple Leafs in Toronto. Puck drop at 7. The Bees signed a 12-year veteran forward in Tyler Johnson to a $775,000 contract for the year. In some Red Sox news, they issued a qualifying offer to Nick Pivetta. Pivetta and his reps at CAA have until November 19th to decide whether to accept. That is what's trending right now. Here is Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 56 degrees, cloudy skies, afternoon high of 72. It's election day, and our man, Ty Law, is in studio next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It is a Ty Tuesday, and Tawan Edward Law on this show, brought to you by Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and by 110 Grill, gluten-free dining done right. How are you?
I'm not good right now, Greg, man. I got to be honest with you, man. I'm not doing too. I'm a little nervous.
What's the matter?
I got to have a root canal after the show. Oh. So, you know, I'm fresh off of a plane, off of a red eye. I came straight to the studio to be with you guys, but I'm nervous as all hell, man.
I got
to
tell you, I have an irrational fear. I don't have many irrational fears. Mm-hmm. Mimes on the list, certainly.
I have a salad.
I have an irrational fear of dentists. I cannot. I'm terrified of.
Wow. And you know what? That's the worst pain.
Are you the same way?
Yeah. I mean, I would rather run into a 300-pound man, you know, head on, full speed, and take that hit. The possible concussion, then go to the dentist. You know what I mean?
Do they put you out for a root canal though?
No, they just
numb it up and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. No, you got to. Hey, I'm a little wuss when it comes to that. You know what I mean? Hey, give me some of that laughing gas, Doc. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Give me something strong.
Ty does the numbing himself, and that's why Raymond's here.
Yeah. Raymond got the medication. He got the good medicine.
Got that good medicine.
Raymond has the good stuff.
Yeah.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah. Good luck. I'm a little nervous. They say you're down for. I think I need a root canal. Mm. Like, that's my problem, is I think I have a molar that is loose, and I think it's because I need a root canal, and I'm afraid to go get it done. Oh, I got to find a good – if there's a good dentist that listens, like – Give me a shout out.
Dr. Peters is good. I mean, he's a Michigan alum, you know. Okay. What I mean? So I feel safe in that aspect. So shout out to Dr.
He's in Boston.
Yeah, he's a doctor. I mean, he does a lot of big dogs. I didn't know he did craft and
Does it bother you when you eat like cold food or hot food and stuff like that?
Yeah, it does. It gets a little sensitive. That's when you know it's the nerve. But I had a root canal before, you know, on the other side, and it does feel a lot better. Mm-hmm. And you don't even need the molars though. You know, I'm not a dentist, but they say you don't need those back teeth. You know what I mean? So get it out.
Does he do veneers, Dr. Peterson? Because I feel like a lot of people are doing that.
Yeah, but you see how you didn't know how much them teeth cost when the last teeth people be putting in their mouth. Yeah.
And they
it's like 50 grand.
They shave your actual teeth down into like fangs. So once they're in, you can't go back.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I mean, you got a nice smile, but man, $50,000?
It's the NFL insurance.
I'm just going to go brush my teeth.
You should have him throw a Corvus grill in.
You know what? I might have to give me a grill, but you could take them out though. Like you said, those is permanent.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna give me a little crow
Just like a C for Corvus.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, mid-season, and so we'll get your thoughts on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Obviously, let's start with last night. Kansas City Chiefs remain undefeated, win in overtime. Possible this team goes undefeated the whole season from your perspective?
It's still a long way to go, and people are going to figure them out because who would have thought that Tampa Bay would have been in the game that long, you know what I mean, without their main guys like Mike Evans and Godwin out. So, you know, shout out to Baker Mayfield, man. He's playing some pretty decent ball, and to hang in there and almost have a chance to win. But going undefeated, I still say it's a, you know, it's 50-50, but I mean, it's not likely to happen because at some point, if you already got the bye, depending on who you're playing at the end, don't risk, you know, Patrick Mahomes being out there just to get a perfect season. I don't think that it's worth it. I mean, the goal for those guys is to get the three-peat, you know what I mean? Something that's never been done in the NFL. So I think that's more important. So going undefeated, I think, is highly unlikely because at the end, if you got the bye, why play your starters?
Well, 2 weeks they're at Buffalo. So looking at their schedule, at Buffalo is definitely a tough one. And then maybe the second-to-last game at Pittsburgh. So if you
at Pittsburgh, it's gonna be tough.
So those cold, I would say those they got the Texans, but that's at home. So I would say that, you know, at Pittsburgh and at Buffalo in 2 weeks will be the hardest on their schedule.
And I think they're gonna wanna play because those are possibly the teams that they're gonna see in the playoffs too. So, you know, Buffalo's definitely gonna come out there and try to win, have something to prove because they're a Super Bowl contending team from what it looks like right now. You know, and they're adding some weapons, but then Kansas City is making moves. Well, I think you're going to get Hopkins.
Mm-hmm. Curtis, did you pick the Bills the other day? Curtis, hello? Oh, tap him. Wake him up. Curtis, did you pick the Bills the other day? I'm thinking of Boomer.
Bastista. Almost got it. I did not have the Bills. I think the Bills are going to be in the Super Bowl, though. I think Bills-Lions is my
Super
Bowl.
That's what I was saying. I was asking that if you picked that the other day.
Yes. I'm sorry. I was previewing audio. Yes, yeah. I absolutely did. And I think that but I do believe that the Lions, they just got Za'Darius Smith in a trade this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The rusher. I think the Lions are the best team in football. I think they're better than the Chiefs.
Mm.
I don't know. They lost Aiden Hutchinson, and they haven't skipped a beat. They just replaced him, and there's a chance they get him back.
He might be back for the Super Bowl, right?
Michigan guy, Ty Law.
Yeah.
I ain't betting against Patrick Mahomes until somebody knocks him out. He's like the Brady. He's in the Brady world now. You don't bet against Mahomes until somebody's proven that they can beat him.
Right.
Especially I ain't betting against him.
In one game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
He brings up the Steelers, though. They've been playing pretty well. So you're a Pittsburgh guy.
Oh, I ain't a Steelers fan.
You're from the area.
I am a huge, huge Mike Tomlin fan. You know what I mean? That's the type of guy. You know, met him before, but everyone that played, you know, for him loves to play for him. You know what I mean? He's one of those type of guys. He's going to hold you accountable. He has the utmost respect for his players. So that's somebody that is like, you know what? If you can play for any coach outside of the greatest who I had the opportunity to play, you know, with Bill Parcells, Coach Belichick, the greatest of all time, I would love to play for
Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin, yeah.
Speaking of coaching, midway through the season, what grade do you give Jerod Mayo?
I mean, for what he's working with, I give him a C plus. Because we haven't got to see the true potential,
right?
Because he doesn't have a lot of talent that he's working with. You know what I mean? So, like I said, you can stick Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. You put them on this team, you might get a couple more wins, but you still ain't going to Super Bowl. You still ain't going to beat none of the better teams. So that's why I try to convey to people that don't get it twisted.
You had Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Yep. With this team right now.
And the rest of this roster, you would only get a couple more wins.
I think you would reach my 500.
Okay. Ty, did you sure they didn't give you the medication before you got here?
No, if you gave Tom and Bill, they going to Super Bowl.
No, I didn't say they going to Super Bowl, but they probably sitting here at 6-3.
You still need your receivers to catch.
Hey, you damn right.
Yeah, but it's
I'm not saying they're gonna be like this. I'm saying you get a couple more wins and still mid-season.
They 6-3.
And I'm thinking you'll get to 500, like I said.
No, see, I think they're a playoff team with Tom and Bill.
Look at what the Patriots did in 06 with Jabbar Gaffney and Rashe Caldwell. They were basically 3 minutes away from the Super Bowl, a game they would have beaten Rex Grossman in.
You gotta consider the defense, too. I'm talking about across the board as a team. He's definitely going to be an upgrade from a coach, and that's two positions, quarterback and the coach. What about everything else? That's not going to make your offensive line, you know, block any better. That's not going to make your defense tackle any better. That's not going to make you stop giving up those chunk yardage.
I think they scheme up something better, though, defensively. If Tom and Bill are here, they're a playoff team. They're not going in the Super Bowl. I agree with you on that, but they're a team.
But the standard is the Super Bowl is to compete to go to a Super Bowl.
Oh, man, those days are long gone.
I don't give a damn what nobody says. Yeah. They are not going to compete for a Super Bowl with the roster that's constructed, no matter if you had Tom Brady or Bill Belichick.
But don't
it
you
is
think,
what it is.
Don't you think, whether right or wrong, Jerod Mayo gets a little bit of a pass this season when it comes to the significant injuries on the defense side?
Yeah, I'm like, tag him a C+.
Like, you know, Dennis Allen is done, right? So I don't think, and odds were better that Jerod Mayo would be fired than Dennis Allen would be fired. Like, I think he survives this year.
Oh, yeah. He's like every first year. Isn't the guy in Carolina, isn't he a first year head coach? Yes. What's his name?
Dave Canales.
Yeah, Canales. Like, I feel like Dan Campbell, his team stunk his first year. Every first year coach gets a pass, especially when the organization and the owner handpicked that guy. So I don't
know.
We didn't do great when Bill Belichick's first year, was it? Did we? I don't
5-11.
That's what I'm saying. We didn't do great.
No.
So, I mean, did he stink? Yeah. Yeah, he stunk the first year. Okay, but guess what? Now, no one thinks about that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, that's just the nature of the game. And when you got a young quarterback, you got a young head coach, you're going to go through those growing pains. And at the end of the day, Jerod, give him some talent before we judge him on his coaching ability, because he doesn't have the best product out there right now. I think he's doing okay for what it's worth.
Would have liked to see him go for two, though, and try to win that football game.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, why not? You know, what's pissing me off, though, guys, is when people say, okay, tank. You know, as a competitor, you don't go out there and try to tank to get the first pick, because even if you get the first pick, you already got your quarterback. Who is going to be actually there? But you're asking guys to tank to get somebody that's unknown in the draft. When you're getting college guys, we don't know if they're going to be good in the pros.
No, but I want them to lose so they can have the first pick.
What you going to do with it?
What I'm doing with it is I'm using it to trade down, pick up some more assets, maybe trade. I know it's sky in the pie, and I've been saying, and I'll keep beating pie in the sky. You know what I'm saying. Your sky's the limit, like Biggie said.
Yes.
I want to trade for a guy like Ja'Marr Chase, and if I have multiple first-round draft picks, maybe that'll allow me to do that. So, and if I have the number one overall pick by trading down, maybe I'm able to pick up an extra first-round pick that allows me to put a package together to get one of those plays. Because I do agree with you. There is no sure thing when it comes to wide receiver in this year's draft. Like, there's no, like, guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. that you go, like, all right, or even like a Malik Nabers that you go, this is the guy. So I want it so I could pick up more assets to potentially trade for. You know, another guy who I'd be interested in calling is Deebo Samuel. I feel like with them signing Brandon Ayuk, he was already a little bit, you know, frustrated with the contract, wants a new one. So, I mean, like, these are things that I would be thinking about.
I think Deebo Samuel is a great player. He can do multiple things, but it depends on how you use him. Is this the type of offense that they're going to use Deebo Samuel? How you use Deebo Samuel? Because if you put him out there one-on-one against the top corner, I mean, is he going to consistently beat him? They move Deebo around. He's a big bruiser guy. I know. From a defensive back standpoint, I would never look at him and say, hey, as great as a player as he is, I'm not going to sit there like I'm nervous about that. I know he's going to now he's going to beat me deep and get behind me and, you know, get for the big play. That's not going to happen with him. So I'm thinking about a receiver, somebody that's going to be a real game changer like that. And you don't have to scheme around.
Well, that's why I said Ja'Marr Chase originally. And I don't know if Cincinnati, if I was able to pick up an extra first round pick because I had the number one overall pick. And I said to Cincinnati, I'm going to give you two first round picks, two second round picks for Ja'Marr Chase. Is that something that they would be interested in?
They need a line. So I know it's usually if you're not getting a quarterback, a left tackle. So I don't know who's coming out in the draft, but they need somebody on that offensive line to protect Drake May. Of course, he's going to make some bonehead rookie mistakes, but I like him, you know, thus far.
I was going to say, what do you think so far?
I mean, so far, he's doing all right, and then he can use his leg. I didn't know he can run like that. You know what I mean? He has some passes. Like, oh, that was a nice pass right there. You know what I mean? So I think he has the confidence to go play, but at the same time, he's still developing. He's still learning, and that's why maybe Jerod didn't want to put him in the beginning, because he knew his offensive line wasn't very good. So, you know, he started getting gunshots, so he waited a little bit. Now it's no pressure. man, just go out
but
there
there's
and play.
No Joe Alt, there's no Joe Alts in college, even with the O-line position. That's another position. There's like not like this, you know, you talked about Joe Alt last year with Notre Dame. Like there was this, Shime and I were talking about, it's the kid from LSU, but his past couple of games, he hasn't played that well. There's not that sure.
And Kelvin Banks at Texas.
Yeah, it's not that like that.
Take it to the Kelvin Banks.
And that's why I think that you want
it
the,
ain't no Orlando Pacers, no. John and the Ogdens or something like that coming out this year.
Ty, I have a question for you. Yeah. You know him better than anybody. You coached by him for 15 years. Do you think Belichick will come out of retirement and be the coach of the Cowboys next season?
You know what? I think there's a good possibility because, hell, I'm going to ask him. I'm going to be with Belichick on Saturday. So.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, what's
yeah,
going
we do,
on?
Cheerleader contest?
We're doing something down in – yeah, come on.
Dump out of
did
that.
Did I dump that, Sean?
Nailed it.
Did I catch you?
I
got it. Don't worry.
Damn,
I
didn't want you
I'm
to
not
get
BSing. That's
no,
the
for real, that's the rumor. Getting
the man is shopping for engagement.
Yeah, that's I'm, the rumor. Well, you know what? I'm going to take me some Corvus down there. I'm going to get a little tizzy. So I'm going to bring the scoop back. Yes, but I'll be down with Belichick
on
Saturday.
What are you guys doing?
We're doing something on the Madden bus for Super Bowl. Something about, you know, his
See,
dynasty.
See, Bill likes doing all this.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's going to come back and get
into it. But he's loving it.
I'll leave Saturday.
You think he still wants to coach?
I think he's still going to coach.
Even
I mean, he's so close to the record that we get to see his personality, but I think deep down Bill is still a coach, and if the right opportunity comes, you know, I think the competitiveness in him is going to want to go back and coach because that's his comfort zone. We're seeing his personality on TV. You guys get to see it, but it's something that we've seen as players when the cameras is not on.
Right.
When the cameras is on, that's when he, you know, he button up and ain't going to give you nothing. But when the camera's off, Bill, he's having a good time, you know, talking trash, drinking, whatever else you want to do.
Trade deadline today, 4:00. Yeah. Anybody other than Drake May on this team that you don't listen to? I mean, Christian Gonzalez or
you don't want to give up.
Okay,
Gonzalez.
So
no, he got too much upside. Those are the only thing that's worth to somebody else. So right now, it's like, can you trade?
Well, Duggar would be worth it to somebody else.
He would be worth it. I think.
What are you going to get for Duggar? A fifth round
pick?
Exactly. Gonzalez and May are the only two players on New England that are off limits. You want anybody else, feel free, because what are you getting in return? Even with Duggar, what are you going to get? A fifth round pick for him? A fourth round pick if you're lucky?
Everything is for sale, you know what I mean? So if you're going to come up and give up two first round draft picks for, you know, Gonzalez or something like that, they might consider that, you know what I mean? But those are the only two guys that you see as like you can build towards the future with those.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Everybody else is expendable, but if the right price come, you know, they'll probably do that, too. It's business at the end of the day.
Gonzalez is good, but I don't know if two first-rounders coming in.
I get what you're saying. You have to consider that, but I think he has so much upside.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, you know, I like him. I like him.
We got to take a break. Ty Law is here, and it's a Ty Tuesday. We'll get to the most entertaining play of the game coming up from Sunday. And you know what, Curtis? We can come back with Bill, who was even though he didn't want to be, was asked about coaching.
Love it.
Again yesterday. So we'll be right back. Well, Bill Belichick with a non-answer yesterday with Pat McAfee about whether he misses coaching, whether he will answer when the phone rings. I'm sure the phone will be ringing. It seems like it really does seem like Dallas, which is a complete free fall.
Right. And Parcells is down there. So Parcells can work with Jerry Jones. Belichick can work with Jerry Jones. I know he misses it because I told you I watched the Manning cast and it's different when you see him watching the game as it's being played. And he's like, oh, that's so bad. I can't believe they're doing like you could see he's really into when he's actually live watching the game where he's giving like coaching points on what he would do differently.
He's doing so many things, though, that I think are showing me that he's not going to be back in a locker room with a bunch of guys that could be judging him or he could have to answer questions, whether it's the Halloween costume with Jordan, having Donald Trump on the Let's Go podcast. Like, there's been so many things that I just think if he is a head coach in the league that he's not doing.
I think.
But how would the Halloween episode,
the football aspect and the personal?
What, Curtis?
How would the Halloween costume impact his ability to coach?
Because, I'm not saying it impacts his ability to coach at all. I'm saying that he has to, answer, or, like Wiggy said, oh, people would be clowning on him in the locker room if he's posting that. When did you ever see him posting stuff like that? The only thing we talked about when he was coaching in his relationship situation and him maybe dressing up was that. Him at the bowling event.
Yeah, but people
clowned
on him when he coached. You know, there were guys that, you know, but you didn't see it, but behind the scene would bust his balls.
Right, but I'm saying this is to a whole nother level. I just don't think that if he was still a head coach in the league, he'd be doing the things that he's doing.
But he won't be doing that anymore because I know he'll go right back to the build.
Right.
You know, but right now, he has to show his personality.
Right.
He has to do stuff. He's in the media now, but when he goes back to coaching, and I'll say one thing. Bill Belichick will be better for the Dallas Cowboys, the way their team is constructed, and he'll have more success than if he was to come back here to New England, even though that's not a possibility. But I'm just saying the difference in the way.
He'll be better for the Cowboys. Why? Because they need somebody who's...
No, I mean, as far as the discipline, what he's going to bring.
So they need a disciplinarian.
They need a disciplinarian.
So you got Zeke Elliott, who gets benched this week because he doesn't show up for meetings or whatever.
Right.
That's not happening.
That's not going to happen.
On
certain situations,
you got on the sideline.
You have talent.
We effing suck.
Right, but you have talent that he can work with, and he's going to.
And Micah Parsons.
And you got Micah Parsons.
Yeah, but there's such limited talent. The rest of that team stinks. You really think he wants to go play? You really think he wants to go coach that team?
They have
outside of Parsons, Lamb, and Prescott, the rest of that roster is awful.
I think if Jerry Jones says to Bill Belichick, here's $150 million over 5 years, it's your team. Jerry has not been this low since he fired Jimmy Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Like, though he has a horrible opinion of himself in that city. Look at the way he's losing his mind on the local radio spots. And it is the place that most sticks it to Kraft because Jones and Kraft don't get along. And lastly, the reason I think he's coming back is Andy Reid is going to be breathing down his neck. He's at 292 wins now. They don't lose. Mahomes is in the prime of his career. As long as Andy Reid stays away from the Cheesecake Factory, he could do this 5 more years.
Yeah.
And
I don't know whether the Shula thing is that important to him or not.
What's his cry on with the Pat McAfee show?
8-time Super Bowl champ.
Yeah, that's important to him.
Right, winning.
Records. Yeah.
And I think he goes back right into, and the thing about it is you just heard him say it on the Pat McAfee show. Well, let me go back to my, you know, media Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And not answered. So, like, I can easily see him flipping the switch and going right back to it.
Don't you think this is just a little bit? He's like, you know what? Because the whole thing, Tom Brady won without he never won without Tom Brady.
Right.
Don't you think if he have an opportunity to get with the right organization,
he
just
want
to put that to bed?
Totally.
Just as a human being, as a competitor, because that's just, and it irritates me that people say that because it's one and the same. You can't sit there and count all of Tom's and discount Bill's, you know, because he had that. You can count his 7, but you can't count Bill's 6.
But you know they think about it.
I have a question, though. If Tom never leaves and wins in Tampa, do you think there's a shot in hell that he's introduced as 8-time Super Bowl champion? No, because it's 8 over 7. Because he's still butthurt that Brady left and won his 7th, so he has to have Pat McAfee introduce him as 8-time Super Bowl champion, something he's never been introduced as at any point in his life.
Every competitor, and Ty will tell you this, has a little something in them where, like, even Bill and Tom probably know it was them together, but there's a little something where Tom goes, it was me, and there's a little something in Bill going, I want to show him that it wasn't him. You know, they might not tell the world or tell us, but if they're laying down there and he's pillow talking with Jordan, there's a little bit of him that says, I want to go get another one to show that I can do it without Tom.
Right.
The same way, if you honestly talk to Tom, and I'm not talking about Tom Brady, I'm talking about get a little tequila in him, Tom, he'll be like,
another one.
Maybe Dallas could be a package deal with he and Jordan. She's a cheerleader, correct?
Very good one.
Cheerleader?
You know, maybe she is. Maybe she
joins the Dallas cheerleaders.
Yeah, guaranteed contract.
Maybe she'd like to be a Cowboys cheerleader.
It's a hard team to make.
Yeah, yeah.
Cowboys.
Yes. Bill does Dallas.
They're a
good reality show.
Yeah.
I just think that the box, once it's opened for Bill, and we've seen a different side of him, the outside. I know you guys have seen this side of him inside of a locker room, but for the outside media fans, we've seen a side of him, and once that box is open, it's hard to close.
They won a Super Bowl the year he wrote Trump a letter.
You don't think he's going to come back?
Yeah, but Curtis, he never wanted to talk about it. And again, because I'm already seeing people jump down my throat, this isn't a right or left situation. This is just he and politics. If he had Kamala on Let's Go podcast, I would be saying the same thing. This isn't like because it's Donald Trump.
I don't think Bill decided to have Donald Trump on the Let's Go podcast.
I think it's shocking that he's associated with him in any way.
Why?
Right. Because politics as a whole, Bill didn't want to be asked about it or talk about it at all. I know he wrote the letter, Curtis, but in the grand scheme of things, he did not want to talk about it. I also think it's interesting timing after Kraft was just on a podcast saying that he hasn't talked to Donald Trump since January 6th. It's a very interesting timing.
But that's the unfortunate place that some find themselves in, where they don't have the nuts to if people are grilling them about who they're voting for, to say who they're voting for.
But he didn't want to do that forever.
He did. He wrote
a letter that he thought was going to be in private.
He's always been an advocate for Donald Trump.
Right. But how does that affect him if he comes back coaching, though?
Yeah. Again, me saying that the fact with the podcast, because people are like, if he had Kamala on, you'd be fine. No, I would be saying the same exact thing. And I don't know why people immediately associate me with one party, but that's another conversation. I'm just saying politics-wise right now is such a hot-button topic that I think if Bill Belichick was a head coach in the league, he would not be putting himself in the middle of a political conversation
at all. Well, he would not. But see, the difference is he would not have a podcast that he would be part of where they're saying, hey, we need to have Trump on. So that would, I think that's the difference. Like, Bill is doing all this media stuff, and by him being out there, that's
Is that his podcast? The Let's Go podcast?
No, that's Brady and Jim Gray's podcast.
Yeah. Okay. And so
I would say that we're going to get to what they said last night.
Okay.
But Tom Brady was not on last night.
That is correct.
So Tom Brady chose not to be on when Donald Trump was going to be on.
I don't think that I don't think Donald has forgiven Tom for the public disrespect.
But you say smart.
No, I'm saying because you don't want to get involved in the politics. I get what you're saying, because it's nothing wrong with if you want to go out there and publicly say who you're going for and all that stuff. But being at the positions that they're in, and they can have certain influences, just like Tom got rules what he can and can't do because as an owner, he just don't want to get into that stuff because it's going to take away from everything else that he's trying to do.
But see, that's the difference between Tom and Bill. Tom, he is more cautious of his appearance, where Bill's like, all right, I'm on this Let's Go pod. I don't mind asking Donald Trump some questions. No big deal. There's no sweat off my. I don't care. If I go back to coaching, this is not something that I'm going to be doing podcasts no more.
I think it's a little bit different when you're 70-something years old and you're like, I don't care if I don't have to coach.
Right.
I don't have to do it. But you're doing everything because you want to at this point. Tom has his whole new career starting. You don't want to start tainting that off the rip just over an opinion, because people are going to take it and run. If you take a picture with Donald Trump right now, people are going to say you're a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I take pictures with people all the time. I don't know if you're Kamala. I don't know if you're Trump. I don't know anything about you. I don't care.
Right. But people,
But Tom, whoever he touches to be around, they take a snapshot. Mm-hmm. It's read into more than would the average person.
Yeah, I think that's and you're right. Bill's at the age where it's like, if I do coach, it's going to be for 3 more years, and then I'm going to be 75 and I'm retired off into the sunset.
Right.
Yeah. Tom is still aware of how people perceive him.
Exactly.
What time's your root canal?
Huh? After 11.
All right, you got time?
Yeah, I got him here.
All right. Well, stick around.
Yeah, I'm sticking around.
All right, Ty Law's here. We still need, do we even need to question what the most entertaining play of the game was?
There were a couple of them.
It was
May Magic.
Yeah, it was the Drake May.
Shine, come on.
I like that alliteration out of you, by the way. May Magic.
All right, we'll continue with Ty Law next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.